The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. The second half of the program is live. A big early part of the show dealing with the Big Ten issues. Wisconsin on pause. We have talked to many, many other people. Right now, it gives me great pleasure. Welcome back to our program, Booger McFarland. Booger, it has been too long. How are you doing?
Paul, what's up, baby? I'm doing outstanding. It's been a long, long time. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I miss not seeing you, but then again, that would apply to pretty much the whole free world. You seem like you're keeping busy to a degree.
Yeah, Paul, you know, just talking a little college football and hanging out with Chris Berman and, you know, trying to keep Randy Moss company. I got a pretty full schedule, buddy.
What's I don't know him very well. I've run into him, obviously, around ESPN. But what's it like to work with one of the legendary figures in sports broadcasting history?
You know what, Paul? He's a wealth of knowledge. And oftentimes the mistake a lot of people make when you're around somebody like Chris Berman or yourself is we want to talk a lot. The best thing you can do when you're around Berman is listen, because he's got stories for days. And if you listen, you'll learn and you'll hear some magnificent stories back. You got to remember, before anybody ever heard of Feinbaum and McFarland, Berman started, like, he was there day one with ESPN in 1977, 78, something like that. So he's been around a long time. He knows where a lot of skeletons are buried, Paul. So I just sit around and listen to stories all day and try not to hurt my side laughing so hard.
I can imagine. Well, Booger, let's get to college football. And we are, you know, at the midpoint of some leagues, the beginning of others. Today we learned about the Big Ten. We had many conversations with you before the season about what should be done or shouldn't be done. How do you think it's going so far?
Well, I think overall, Paul, it's probably going as well as could be expected. I think, you know, as it pertains to the Big Ten, since this just came down with Wisconsin, I think the Big Ten has painted themselves in a corner, and they're going to have to deal with whatever comes out of it as far as Wisconsin basically having to cancel a game. I don't think they're going to be the only team that has to cancel a game. I think if you're Kevin Warren in the Big Ten, you just hope that Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State, some of your marquee programs, don't have to cancel their games, especially as we get closer to Selection Sunday, where the college football playoff is determined. I think when you look at what Greg Sankey and the SEC's done, Paul, they did the one thing that most of America didn't want to do, which was sit back, relax, wait, be patient, don't make a decision till you have to. When you have to make a decision, then you make one. And, you know, I think so far so good. If we could only get Dan Mullen to take the coronavirus serious, I think the SEC would be in pretty good shape. But, you know, he wants to put 90,000 in the stands, and I don't even know if Florida's going to be able to play this week because they got six new tests. So other than Florida, I think the SEC has handled it pretty good. In the Big 12, they're social distancing their defense, as always. I mean, nothing about their defensive strategy has changed. And we'll see what happens with the Pac-12. I think the Pac-12, to me, is going to be a fascinating scenario, especially dealing with what's going on in California and Arizona. Those states have been through a lot. They're still going through a lot, not only with the coronavirus, but with the fires. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens out there in California.
Booger, let's talk big picture, starting with Alabama losing Jason Waddle. You know, some people have written them off, which I think is, you know, maybe premature considering how much talent is on that team, but it does affect them. In what ways do you think it will hurt them the most?
They lose an experienced, explosive playmaker. That doesn't mean that they don't have somebody behind them. You know, a guy like Slade Bolden out of Louisiana, wearing number 18. I think he came in against Tennessee, had three or four catches. Obviously, Devontae Smith is really good. Michi, they have playmakers. But what happens, Paul, is, you know, Waddle was the guy that, when he touched the ball, whether it's a kickoff return, a punt return, a slant, a hitch, he could take it 95 yards. And not that Devontae can't, not that Michi can't, but Waddle had that extra gear that if you just ask Kirby Smart, and I know you had him on your program yesterday, if you talk to Kirby Smart, Kirby will tell you he had his best cornerback on Waddle, and he went right by him for 85 yards. Like, that's a scary feeling. But, again, Nick Saban recruits well. Nobody's going to feel sorry for Alabama. They got other five-star players on the field. And as long as Mac Jones plays at the level he's playing at, Paul, I think people are right to put Alabama and Ohio State and Clemson kind of pencil them in the playoff, because it's going to be tough to beat those three teams.
Booger, Kirby said he's sticking with Stetson Bennett. I mean, not that I expected him to say anything else, but can Georgia survive against Florida next week and maybe against Alabama again with him at quarterback?
No, and if I were to call Kirby or text Kirby, I'd tell him the same thing. I like the mailman. It's a great story. I love it. It's good for, you know, to talk about on the radio, and it's going to make a good, you know, 30 for 30 one day. But if Kirby Smart is trying to get over the hump, Paul, and by hump, I mean win a championship, I mean, you know, let's start with an SEC title, and then we can move on to the national title. If Kirby's going to do that, you got to have a playmaker at that position. And look no further, Paul, than Georgia, LSU, schools that have struggled at that position. A lot of talent elsewhere. What happened to LSU, Paul, last year when they got a quarterback? I mean, it was records. I just feel like Kirby could have the same thing there at Georgia. I'm not sure what's going on with JT Daniels. I'm not as connected down in Athens, but it seems like to me, Paul, that if Bennett is the best that they have, then that says a lot about JT Daniels. Now, Neiman transferred. I thought Neiman transferred because he was going to get beat out by Daniels, but evidently, you know, he got beat out by Bennett. I just think when you go against a team like an Alabama, when you go against Florida, and if they can figure out how to play defense again, because A&M hit them up for 40 points, when you go against Ohio State, when you go against Clemson, you got to have a guy at the position that you don't have to coach around. I feel like right now Kirby Smart is having to coach around the mailman and not coach for him. And Kirby won't admit it. Maybe Kirby knows something we don't. I'll leave it up to him. But I just know from a playmaking standpoint, he's not on the same level as a Mac Jones, as a Justin Fields, as a Trevor Lawrence, as some of the other upper echelon quarterbacks in this league.
Burrow, let's talk about this weekend, because LSU has been all over the place, and so has your good friend Gus Malzahn. They meet in really an epic game. The loser of this game has a hard time convincing anyone that the season will be worth playing the rest of the way. But what happened Saturday in Auburn?
You know, Paul, it's going to be a fascinating display of which team and which quarterback shows up. You know, Bo Nix, quite frankly, hasn't lived up to the billing. You know, I remember his first game against Oregon. You know, Patrick, his dad, was in the stands, and we were all, you know, cutting away shots of Bo, shots of Patrick, thinking we were going to, you know, have this great story. But quite frankly, he hasn't lived up to it. Joey Gatewood transferred, and I got a feeling that if Gatewood was still there, Gatewood might be getting some snaps. And as far as LSU, it doesn't sound like Miles Brennan is going to play. So now you got a freshman quarterback who's only played one game in T.J. Finley, who's going to go on the road. Yeah, it's not going to be a hostile environment as far as 85,000, but it's on the road in the SEC against one of the better defensive coordinators in the country in Kevin Steele. So to me, Paul, it's going to be fascinating and also intriguing to see which quarterback can kind of step their level of play up, because Finley has never done it on the road, and Nix hasn't done it in a long time. Like, he struggled. You got to think Kevin's going to throw a lot at Finley. Gus is going to do what Gus typically does. It's going to be a lot of trick them and a lot of up-tempo and try to, you know, fool people. But at the end of the day, which quarterback plays the best and that doesn't turn the football over, I think is going to be the one that ultimately saves their season. Because, I agree with you. If Auburn loses this, then, you know, I can hear the headlines Monday. You know, is Gus still worth $7 million? If Coach O loses this one, then we're going to be talking about a championship hangover, and maybe the book sales are, you know, flip the script, are going to go down for Coach O's new book. So this is going to be a very, very high-stakes game, maybe not for championship purposes, but for just having a good season and kind of keeping the momentum of your program going.
Booker, before you go, I know they're off this week, but I just want to get your impressions of Jeremy Pruitt's stewardship of this Tennessee program. And I know we are all excited with the winning streak, but it's been a grim watch the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm willing to give Jeremy a full four-year recruiting cycle before I can really judge him. You know, he's kind of hitching his wagon to Jared Garantano right now, and that hadn't gone well. He's been up and down like the stock market, and hopefully for Jeremy's sake, he can go up a little bit more. But I want to give him a full four-year cycle before I can really judge him. I know there are lofty expectations, Paul. He's done some good things. Tennessee's playing better. But if we want Tennessee to be what Tennessee was, you know, when Peyton Manning was there, which was a national program that could go in any state in America and recruit, they're not there yet. And it's up to Jeremy to get it there. Now, maybe he's waiting on Arch Manning to come out in a few years so he can get him up to Tennessee. I don't know. Hey, Paul, that's a long way away. If you're Jeremy, you got to figure out a way to beat some of the upper echelon teams. Like, I can't take you serious in this conference until you can beat Auburn, Georgia, Florida, LSU, Alabama. Like, I can't take you serious till you beat them more than a fluke, okay? Until Tennessee can beat that little group of teams, Paul, and do it consistently and beat, you know, one or two of those a year, it's going to be tough for me to take them serious.
And finally, this is his fifth year. He did beat Georgia last year. But, you know, it seems like Will Muschamp is living week to week in spite of having a $15 or $20 million buyout. When are you supposed to turn the corner, even at South Carolina?
Yeah, Paul, I thought last week's loss on the road at LSU, when LSU was starting the freshman quarterback, when you got 52 put on you, was as damaging of a loss for Will Muschamp that he's had in a long time. A lot of momentum. They didn't beat Florida, but they played Florida tough. You can see improvement. I'm just not sure what the ceiling is for South Carolina. Like, if you were to ask the people on the board up there and you ask the athletic director, like, what's our ceiling? Because if they're really honest, are they going to say win a national championship? I don't think so. Okay, so what's your ceiling? Is your ceiling every 4 years win the East and go to Atlanta? Okay, if that's the case, then he still hasn't achieved that. So I would love to know what they think the ceiling. And maybe you can tell me, Paul, what do the South Carolina fans say when they call? Because South Carolina's got to be honest and realistic with themselves. They can't think national championship yet. They got to think, okay, what, can I win the East? What do you hear from those fans when they call?
Well, it really depends on the week. I mean, they are the most hot and cold fan base I've ever heard. A week ago, they were feeling great, and then Monday, they were right back to what's it cost to buy Will Muschamp out.
Hey, and next week they're going to call you and ask you what's going to be the capacity for the Independence Bowl as far as letting fans in. You know?
Yeah, but you know, I. We've gone over, but this conversation has just reinforced how much we miss you here, Booger. Come back soon. I know you got a lot going on, but it's always great to have you on.
Paul, it's always good to be on. I can't wait to see you back in the studio because the last time I checked, you weren't in the studio, right?
Well, I am marching my way through this pandemic. But hey, listen, you come back soon, Booger. Always great to have you.
Will do. Later, Paul.
You got it. Booger McFarland joining us. It's always a pleasure. It's always cool to have him, and really appreciate that. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.